First foot down for North Carolina, guess what? Been worth. Welcome everybody to 6 Point Weekend, the official podcast of Oak City Supporters, supporters for North Carolina Football Club in the USL Championship and the best damn women's team on the planet, the North Carolina Courage of the NWSL. I am Dave. I am your erstwhile host for this week, and I am joined by Ebony.
Hello.
And KP.
What's up?
We did not celebrate a 6-point weekend this past weekend. We celebrated a 2-point weekend instead.
And one of those points kind of hurt more than the other.
True.
True.
Very true. But before we get started on talking about the games, Ebony, who brings us here?
We're brought to you by Tasty Beverage Company right here in downtown Raleigh. And in Asheville, who just opened a brand new kitchen. I hear their sliders are amazing. So whether you're in downtown or in Asheville, stop by. They're awesome. They'll have all the beer you need, especially because we're going into sour beer season now. We're part of the Beautiful Game Network, BGN.FM, and Golden Goal Press at goldengoalpress.com. And we're still friends of the pod on Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Insert clip of Jonathan saying hashtag SNSTFam here.
And we're still on Patreon, patreon.com/6pointweekend. And because Justin still pays us, 6 Point Weekend is brought to you by Sour Beers, the best treat to beat the summer heat. I guess.
Debatable.
Yeah. I'll take a cider. Like, can we compromise? I'll take a cider.
I'll take a cider any day.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. All right. So let's start off with the 0-0 draw that we actually thought was a really good result.
Yeah.
For us. And that was NCFC's trip to Indianapolis to play the Indy 11.
The Colts. Oh.
Yeah, the Colts. My
bad. Play the Colts. Although it sure looked like they were playing the Colts on that
They're not even playing football right now. Why are the lines there?
It's May. Do they not have time to actually take the grid lines off the pitch? I mean, it looked like MLS circa 1996.
I was in Indianapolis 2 weeks ago, and I can say that they have more than enough time to do something this time of year.
Yeah. I mean, they had plenty of time. What? When did the playoffs start for them? They didn't go, so.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but there they were, grid lines on the pitch, and NCFC held Indy to a 0-0 draw, which was a pretty good result for the Dead Whales this time around. Indy had the bulk of possession, which is.
Was expected.
Yeah, it's by design, really. I mean, you look at the way Dave Sarakin set up the squad, he set it up to be a defensive, counterattacking team. And in this case, I think it served them really well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got away from the long leaf pine formation. That kind of hurt my heart.
A little bit.
Still a 4-5-1, though, essentially. 4-2-3-1.
4-2-3-1 instead of a 4-3-2-1.
Just doesn't look like a long leaf pine in the nice graphic.
Yeah. It hurts my heart.
But, you know, it's interesting now talking about that absorption play this time. Like you said, it's more positive. Whereas, like, when we played Hartford, we didn't need to do that. Like, we could have just been, you know, spears out. In this case, it was like we knew we needed to absorb, considering how much possession we knew Indy would have. And I think, like we said in the last week, we'd be happy with going in with a draw. Now, I would have liked some goals, but a 0-0 draw to another bogey team from last season, I'll take it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what really surprised me about this lineup is who started. Well, we still don't have DeLue, so Miller got his start.
Right.
Dre Fortune and Manny Perez.
That's
still
right.
Got the starts.
I think they've been playing well enough to earn it. Dre Fortune really had the best opportunity of this game.
Yeah.
For the Dead Whales. I mean, he had a shot that he rifled from about 25 yards out from the looks of it, and it nearly touched the bottom corner of the net, but it was Evan Newton, the goalkeeper for the Indy 11, made a great save. Probably the best save of the game. And Tim Backus had a few good ones.
It was, I got to see the second half because I was at the Courage game and there was a rain delay.
You know, it's not a proper season at Wake Met Soccer Park if there's not a lightning delay.
Right.
Yeah, it was an experience. But in the lightning delay, they put the game up on the big screen, actually, in the stadium. So I did get to watch the second half. Even though Indy had bulk of the possession, the second half really felt even.
Yeah.
It looked even. It felt even. It's just Spies. I think Spies had a chance near the end there to get a goal. It was
wouldn't that have been ironic if,
that would have been great.
Ben Spies had gotten a goal against the team that loaned him out.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I'm surprised he played, but then I realized we don't follow FIFA rules.
Mm-hmm.
Because some money.
Yeah.
But it was still cool. I mean, it was a draw that felt like a win. And
well,
right
more
now,
importantly,
we need
it's a point on the road
yeah.
against a tough opponent. An opponent that is, at this point, really as much a playoff contender as we look like we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that anytime you can do something like that, that's a big result.
And everybody kept saying that this was our first real test, and I think we passed.
I think, you know, like,
you know,
this isn't obviously like an A-plus pass, but this is still like a...
C's get degrees, dude.
Yeah, man. This is a C-plus right here.
Yeah.
But no, I actually rate it more like a B-minus, honestly. Just being scoreless is really the only thing. But, you know, we, like you said, by the second half, it looked very even. And I think that's probably the best part about it. I think we had held to our own for a whole first half and then continued to not concede or have to really worry the whole game.
Well, to quote the great Christy Rampone, if we score a lot, we might win. But if they never score, we'll never lose.
Ooh.
There you go.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that, too.
I saw that quote, and I was like, oh, yeah.
If they never score, we'll never lose.
There
All
you
right,
go.
I'm into it.
So, Dead Whales now still in fourth place.
Okay.
They're on 15 points, so 8 games, 4 wins, 3 draws, only the 1 loss so far.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. They're only 4 points out of first place. New York Red Bulls, too, cleaning up right now.
Yeah. I mean... I guess it's kind of like the curse. Like, if the baby bulls are doing well, the senior team won't do so well, and that's been proven.
Yeah,
the baby bulls are playing lights out right now,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty amazing to watch. Like, you would think that the Red Bulls would look at some of these players and go,
maybe
you know,
they could be useful.
Yeah, you know, yeah, and I'm like, yeah. and they're not, and I'm just looking at them, and I'm like. You squeaked by with beating LA Galaxy,
mm-hmm.
But you haven't had a lot of good results lately. You got some scoring people over here,
yeah,
like that plays right down the road from you.
You could think we're gonna see some lineup swapping here in the next month or two?
I mean, because remember, well, if you remember, Tacoma did that. Not too long ago, like they lost bad 2 games, and then all of a sudden Sounders signed like that contract where like players could go up and down, and all of a sudden you saw like Brad Evans, like literally like half of our starting lineup for Seattle Sounders playing Tacoma, playing Republic, I can't remember who it was.
It might have been SAC.
Yeah. So you might start seeing that around the league a little bit more, especially with these 2 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Although I guess Tacoma's not really a 2 team anymore, per se.
Yeah.
Not officially. But the way that's set up, though.
Yeah, the way it's set up, you might as well call them a 2 team.
And at this point, you do start to think that if the Red Bulls 2 has some really good standout players, that some of them might get called up to try and save the Senior Bulls.
Mm.
They might need to.
Well, they might need to.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, FC Cincy 2 tied Hartford Athletic this weekend.
That's true.
By the way.
Oh, yes. Should we talk about how proud Matthews was that they got
guys.
A point on the road?
We love our rivalry with you guys. We really do. But come on. This is
even
too easy.
Even members of Jack's militia were getting on Twitter going,
Stop.
But that's another conversation for another podcast.
Oh, man. Now, I know this has no weight on the race, obviously, but I find it interesting that second through fourth place being Rowdies, St. Louis, us are all MLS bidders. So I know that I'm not sure how far out we are from the next round of announcements and stuff, but I bet being in a good position, while yes, there's no promotion relegation, but having people in good positions come time for selections might be a good thing. Who knows?
Well, you know, this is MLS we're talking about,
right.
though. I mean, it really all comes down to the money.
Yeah, I was about to say.
The money thing, yeah.
He selected which check looked nicer.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably a better way of putting it.
So, next up for the Dead Whales is the Ottawa Fury.
Oh, those guys.
Who are currently in 12th place. They have only played 6 games so far. So they have lots of games in hand at this point, and they have they've won half their games.
Well, they've been sort of a team to watch because you don't know what they're going to do next year.
Go to CPL.
Right. I don't think they want to, though.
No.
I don't know how that sanction is going to go. I don't want them in the CPL.
I was going to say, that's one cool thing with a lot of the American leagues we have. We have at least a Canadian team intermingled in there. That's a pretty cool road trip for the guys, and that's cool to see them kind of battling out as Kings of the North.
Road trip for some guys.
Yeah, for some guys.
Not all of the players make the trip.
True.
Well, not all of the players are able to get across the border.
Yeah.
Essentially. Oh,
yeah.
That's been a problem for us in the past. I know T. Shipalani's had border issues in the past when trying to get up to Canada to play.
For Toronto and for Ottawa.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
And then, we have 4 African players on our squad now. Mm-hmm. So the question then becomes, well, which ones will actually get to make the trip? And, which ones will, Border Patrol decide not to be assholes to on the way back?
Yeah.
Which it sucks that that is actually an issue. But unfortunately for a lot of our players, it is. I mean, Dabinha had, visa trouble getting back into the country, and she's Brazilian.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but we'll see. Ottawa is going to be 2:00 on Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a Sunday game. It's
brunch.
Why is there so much soccer to watch on Mother's Day? I mean, you got the final week of the Premier League season.
That's Saturday.
Is that Saturday?
Saturday.
Saturday's the last day.
Saturday is the last day.
Oh, I'll be here. I'll be at London Bridge for that.
Oh, well,
my scrub. I have to go to work after that. My scrubs, I'm coming to London Bridge. I don't care.
What are those games? 10 a.m.?
10 a.m. Everybody kicks off 10 a.m.
Yeah.
I think
if that is Saturday, I will definitely be here too.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. So, that's anything else to talk about with Dead Whales and USL?
I mean, we were asking about Austin. He didn't travel because I saw him at the Courage game.
That's a sure sign that he didn't travel.
Yeah.
I
don't know the extent. If he's injured and not traveling, that means it must be something more, or they're just taking precautions, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time,
you would rather have him available at the end of the season when it's crunch time.
Right.
When it's going to be most important for one of your best players to be on the pitch.
Well, right now we're getting into a lot of games.
Yes.
We have Open Cup on Wednesday.
Oh, man, that's right.
That's right. Open Cup is next week.
Yep. And then
our opponents are playing right now, as a matter of fact.
That's right.
Opponents. As we are recording this. Looks like we are going to get Richmond. They are currently up 3-1 on Virginia United.
How much time left?
Into the end of the first half.
Okay.
Do we know if it's going to be home against Richmond?
Yeah, yes. We'll be home.
Oh, sweet.
So
it is a home game.
The 15th, we'll be home potentially against Richmond because they're up 3-1 in the end of the half. And then we go into the 18th where we play a team. I don't remember which one because we have it's a back-to-back weekend. So we have NCFC on Saturday and Courage on Sunday. So I'm getting all the teams mixed up. Is it Birmingham?
Yeah, Birmingham. We play Birmingham on the 18th.
Yep.
And I believe, I have to double check this now. But the Courage play
Utah.
It is Utah.
Yeah, I know that was Utah.
Okay. And that is on the 19th.
Yeah.
And Utah right now, of course, first place in
they haven't lost.
The NWSL. They haven't lost. They haven't given up any points yet.
So. No, all 1-0 wins.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. So let's talk a little bit more about the Courage right after this.
Yeah, stay tuned. Congratulations to Tasty Beverage Company in Nashville for their 4th anniversary and for opening their brand new kitchen. We hear their sliders are out of this world. Stop by if you're ever in the location. Our heart belongs to the downtown Raleigh one, but they are all over the state. Congrats, guys.
You know, when we say NCFC fam, we mean the entire fam. And that includes our U23 side that currently plays in USL League 2. We've started a supporters group for the U23 side called the Cardinal Collective. And every week, our friend Zach, the head of the Cardinal Collective, will review the games and preview upcoming games for us. So here's your new feature, the Cardinal Collective Minute.
Welcome to Cardinal Collective Minute. I'm your host, Zach, and here are the latest headlines from the NCFCU. The NCFCU 23 have announced Tom Harris as the new head coach. They begin their USL League 2 season with a home opener on May 10th versus Lionsbridge FC. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. Adam Armour was called up to the United States U17 national team. He played two full games for the national team. Curtis De Leon was called up for the Trinidad and Tobago U17 national team. Curtis was subbed in on the first game versus Bermuda, where he tallied an assist and played a full game versus Mexico. Both national teams have qualified for the knockout stage. Finally, it was announced that NCFC will be taking part of the inaugural USL Academy Cup. The tournament will be held spring 2020 and will include U13 and U17 boys. For the latest NCFC youth coverage, follow along at Twitter at CardinalRAL.
Thank you, Zach. Welcome back to Six Point Weekend. We're here to talk about the Courage now. And, you know, last week when Simon wrote in and gave us an over-under of 4.5 on this particular game against Sky Blue, I was hesitant to take that over simply because we knew that this would be the first game without our U.S. national team players. Abby Dahlkemper, Crystal Dunn, Jess McDonald, and Sammy Mewis.
It hurts not hearing McCall's name.
We will talk about the Zerboni-sized hole in this World Cup roster in a bit. But first, let's get to the Courage game. And I was hesitant to take that over simply because Sky Blue played us tough here last year. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, they clearly have a better team, as evidenced by the draw they got against Portland last week. And I had a feeling that this was going to be a slightly tougher game than a lot of people expected. Well, guess what?
It was.
The game ended in a 0-0 draw. Not great result dropping points at home against a traditionally bad team in the NWSL, but it is what it is. And, you know, we had a pretty strong lineup out there. You know, you looked at the midfield, you had, you know, Denise O'Sullivan and McCall Zerboni in the middle, which was a formidable pairing throughout much of last season. You had Dabinia, you had Kristen Hamilton, you had Lynn Williams, Julia Spetsmark.
Maybe
it was her first start in a Courage uniform. A lot of great attacking talent out there.
Yeah.
And they just, it was the gang that couldn't shoot straight. And which we know has been a problem for the Courage in the past.
Do you want to know how crazy it was? So there was a lightning delay. After the lightning delay, Hinkle played midfield for like a good 20 minutes. And she had a better shot on frame than a lot of players. And that says a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. I was shocked. I was like, I didn't know she could play midfield. For some reason, her and McCall just switched. And I was very confused. But
so McCall
cool.
actually switched to left back.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because, you know, apparently that's not needed in this World Cup roster. But we'll get into that.
We'll get to that.
It's whatever.
But
not bitter.
Yeah, 28 shots that the Courage took in this game. They only managed to get 3 of them on frame, and 2 of them bounced off the woodwork.
Yeah.
And you could tell towards the end of that game that there was a little bit of desperation on the part of the Courage, especially when Dabinia took that shot from, I guess it was like 40 yards out. She was trying to chip the keeper or something.
But she almost did it.
She almost did it,
yeah.
It's only crazy if it doesn't work. She literally almost did it, though.
Yeah.
She had some great shots on goal. Couple free kicks. The ball was skipping a lot after that rain delay.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely moving faster. But that played to the Courage's advantage. They just couldn't put it in the back of the net. And that credit goes to Sheridan, too, because she made some fantastic saves after the delay. Because Hamilton got in behind, Spackmark did, Pruitt did when she came on. She came on like right when the rain delay, like to restart the game.
Leah Pruitt's been a bit of a super sub for us.
Yeah, she's been killing it. It's just the ball wouldn't fall into the net today.
And it actually came
very close
to Sky Blue stealing 3 points from us.
Twice, actually, because save of the week, yeah, Matthias, right, with the goal line clearance. Mm-hmm. And then the very blatant handball that the ref just didn't call in the box. So there was three blatant hand calls in the box. Two for Sky Blue and one for us. And she called none of them. This game could have been the game of penalties.
This referee is aware that you're not allowed to like use your arms in that fashion.
I don't know because when I tell you it was blatant, everybody, like there was like 30 of us remaining in the stadium after the rain delay. But some of them, like we all were just yelling because it was insane. I don't know how else to say it. It was absolutely insane. So we're at the top of the box and she shoots and it clearly bounces off of someone's arm. Like everyone just stopped. And she just looked at everybody and just was like, play on. So everyone did. And
so everyone stopped expecting a call and the ref did nothing.
Right.
It's bad when literally everyone stops. Like, there wasn't anyone being like, no, it didn't happen. Like, everyone was like, all right, when's this happening? We know this happened.
And she didn't blow the whistle. And then we came down the field, and the same thing happened, and she didn't blow the whistle. And it was just
Is that a makeup call, maybe?
No, I mean, she was bad all night, but she was at least consistent with her bad non-calls. So, like, if you're going to be garbage
the whole time.
Yeah. So, she did. It was quite something. But as we were saying, this is the tale of two draws. This draw felt like a loss.
Yes.
Yeah, when you drop points at home, especially against Sky Blue.
See,
I mean, they're not the worst team in the league.
They're not.
Right.
Sup, Orlando. Sup. But it was more of a... it wasn't that we were without our stars because... our back line is still the same, minus one.
Yes.
Kurtz had a little bit of a shaky game, too. She looked nervous, and you could tell it in her play when she was giving. I wouldn't say giving, but, well, no, she gave away a couple bad balls, and she was just not making good plays. Like, plays where if she, like, some of her passes could have been a lot better, and her talking and her communication could have been a lot better between her and some players. But you didn't see that. It was, which is very unlike Kurtz. She was nervous and I was very confused. I'm like, I've never seen this team nervous.
You would think they wouldn't have that much to be nervous about.
Right.
I mean, granted, you know, it's an incomplete lineup, but even
True.
With that, you know, Kurtz has stepped in before and played very, very well for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, seeing her be shaky is unusual, to say the least.
I mean, Hamilton had a fantastic game. Oh my gosh, she was
there's a
great.
Reason, there's a reason she's available as a starter.
Yeah.
So, and she will get lots and lots of minutes during this World Cup stretch.
The one player that maybe had. She had an okay game with McCall.
Yeah, McCall was frustrated. You could tell towards the end when she gave up that yellow card.
Yeah.
She looked really frustrated.
It showed all game, but she didn't let her frustration really boil over until that yellow card.
Yeah.
It was a frustrating day for her. It's been a frustrating week for her.
I can imagine.
I can imagine.
So I understand her frustration. She didn't really, it didn't like hinder her or anything, but she didn't really make those same type of tackles that she normally does to win a ball back and to mm-hmm. get the team moving.
Yes.
She was kind of like
meh.
She was there and she looked good, but she didn't look her great McCall herself.
Would you say she was just kind of running through the motions, if anything?
Not running through them. I wouldn't say that, because she was like, she was still keen and mm-hmm. she was still making good plays, but you didn't really see her hit those same, have those same brilliant moments that she normally has. It was just like a normal average game. Mm-hmm. Like her worst game is still like some
pretty
of
good.
The players' yeah, best good. Games. Yeah. So this was still an average game for her, which could literally be like a starter on another team, you know?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. We still have lots of thoughts about McCall to cover over here. But before we do that, let's just briefly mention that the next game for the Courage is this Sunday at 6 o'clock at Chicago.
Oh. Mm.
So this is going to be an interesting one. Because
two Sunday games in a row?
Two Sunday games for NCFC fam. And Chicago, they are missing a good number of players as well. Julie Ertz, mm-hmm. Tierna Davidson, mm-hmm. Alyssa Nair,
uh-huh.
and Morgan Bryan.
Which?
Who has she even played? Has she even played this season?
Yes. So if you're not in the Slack, you would know that I went on this nice little rant about players that got called up that shouldn't have got called up. And Morgan Bryan was one of them. Morgan Bryan has went to France to get a better opportunity and play more, and then got injured. But before she got injured, she was barely seeing time. And then she did get injured, and it kind of like didn't really help her national team case. Then she came back, still injured, didn't get called up for like what, a year and a half. She was doing camps just to see where her fitness level was, but it wasn't great because of injuries. So she hadn't been called in within about a year. She's played three games for Chicago. One was a 15 minute, one was 30 minutes, and she started the game and played 60 minutes. So she has not played a full game in a year. She has not had an injury-free year for like 3 years. She has not played national team duty games for a year, year and a half. But somehow that's veteran experience, I guess.
How do you let someone like that, who suffered that many injuries and has not gotten nearly enough playing time into the lineup and leave out someone who made one of the most iconic speeches of the year thus far? Well, who is going to be there to tell the national team that they're fucking winners?
I mean,
true.
McCall was injured. Like, it was a long injury. They didn't know if she was coming back, but she did. She powered through that injury.
Yeah.
The injury is back. And the injury is the only reason I can see her not being on the squad right now.
But she came only back. Reason. She yes. came back.
But she's back and she's playing 90 minutes.
Yes.
Yes.
Playing instantly 90 minutes. She's in some of the best fitness. All of the Courage players are some of the best fitness of their lives. I don't understand what it is that coaches have against the Courage, because Sam Mewis is not starting. You're not calling in arguably one of the best left backs in the world, or at least in this league. Mm-hmm. Feelings aside, Ronaldo put his feelings a fucking side when it was time for the World Cup. And he was like, yes, I want him on my team.
Mm-hmm.
They put feelings aside for that shit. You don't call up Mewis. Dabinha does not start for Brazil. Rarely does she. Yeah.
She scores goals for Brazil.
She does, yeah, but there are some tournaments where she does not start.
That's so weird.
Wow.
Exactly, right?
And then playing players out of position.
Yeah, and for some reason, people think that Crystal Dunn is a defender.
She's a
Crystal
forward.
Crystal Dunn is a forward
who scores goals.
God, Jesus. Put it on a banner somewhere.
That's a TIFO.
I'm putting it on a shirt, and I'm wearing it to the World Cup. Think I won't.
Big mood.
I mean, so to see, and then to see Allie Long on that list, she's been called up to camp but not really playing. It's just there was a lot, and then don't even get me started on Allie Krieger. Oh God.
Oof.
Allie Krieger's in this line in the roster. Casey Short is not.
Right.
They are thin at fullback.
Right.
They are really thin. Because once you get past Crystal Dunn and Kelly O'Hara.
What's left?
What's left?
Are you going to move Davidson out wide?
Mm. You might have to.
Yep.
I can't see who else you end up playing.
So what do you do with Dahlkemper? Do you leave her in the center with Becky?
You have to. I mean, unless you move Julie Ertz back to defender.
And then where do you put Dahlkemper? Out wide? She's never played out wide.
No, she doesn't play out wide.
And neither does Davidson. You know who plays out wide? Mathias.
Yep.
Maybe
Crystal Dunn.
I don't like Crystal Dunn at outside back.
No.
Because she is a forward
who scores goals.
Thank you, guys. Yes. Oh, it's a wonderful, wonderful harmony.
So, yeah, we are a bit pessimistic about this particular World Cup after seeing this roster. I mean, you don't know. Jill could put something together, or maybe this lineup will play beyond, you know, what their perceived talent is compared to the rest of the, you know, the rest of the competition. I mean, and there's going to be some tough competition in this World Cup. France, you know, they're at home. They're going to want to put on a show. England's looking tough. Japan is looking tough. Brazil is looking tough.
Brazil's a sleeper team, which is so odd to say after they won a World Cup. That's weird.
Yeah.
I actually had the Netherlands. Norway.
Wait, Brazil hasn't won a Women's World Cup, though?
No. They just wear the men's stars.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Yeah.
You get kidded? Our men don't wear the women's stars.
No.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. That'd cause an uproar.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, getting back to this game. At Chicago next Sunday, we're missing players. They're missing players. Are the internationals still going to be available for that game?
I believe so. Although, New Zealand might not, because we played New Zealand in St. Louis for the send-off series, remember?
Yeah, so there's a possibility that Abby Ersig might not be available for this game.
So they might all be shipping out at the same time. I don't know, because I think federations have released their lineup, but they haven't said when they're calling players in.
Okay.
So I don't really know when they're leaving. Well, they're not going to spend a month in camp for no reason, like the U.S.,
right?
But they'll probably take like a couple of weeks, so probably towards the middle.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see when the lineups get announced on Sunday who's still available. I mean, in terms of internationals, obviously.
Well, no, the injury report will be out, Thursday?
Thursday, Friday.
Thursday or Friday, and it'll list all the internationals that are out.
Okay.
So
we'll find out then.
Yeah.
And we'll see if Sam Kerr plays for Chicago. If that's going to be trouble for us, I'm thinking.
Will Sam Kerr do Sam Kerr things?
Yes, because she does Sam Kerr things.
Yes.
So that's going to be the main thing to watch, I think, is basically Kerr versus whoever we have on defense. Because, you know, she got past us once in the season opener.
Yeah.
So can't you do that again?
Almost twice.
She was offside a few times as well, if I recall.
Yes, so. She was. I mean, it's mostly been Nagasato playing when they're in Chicago that's doing all the dirty work and scoring goals. Because, what was it, the 4-4 draw with Portland? Four goal scorers, not one of them was Sam Kerr.
Hmm. Interesting.
So
yeah,
she can be tamed. Not by much, but she can be tamed.
She can be tamed.
She can be tamed. Well, we will find out on Sunday. It's going to be a very interesting game and definitely a tough game. Hopefully the Courage can bounce back from this draw and come away with
I think Paul's going to it's got him in the right mind. Well, Paul's going to bring that Liverpool win home and just use it to fuel him.
Paul, it must be on top of the world right now.
Paul's in Liverpool.
For those of you who don't follow the European game, Liverpool was down 3-0 to Barcelona after the first leg of the UEFA Champions League semifinal. And then they came back today without Mo Salah and without Roberto Firmino, and the two of their top scorers, and beat Liverpool 4-0.
You mean Barcelona?
Beat Barcelona. Excuse me.
And
Liverpool beat Barcelona.
And to put icing on the cake, we all know how good of a free kicker Messi is. He had one towards the end of the game, and the wall actually worked.
What?
Yeah. It even said, like, I was reading it on Foot Mob afterwards and said, the wall worked. I was like, what?
You never really see a wall work when it's messy, just no. because every even the wall is just standing there watching it like, oh.
They want to admire it, understandably. Yeah,
exactly.
But no, Paul, take these good vibes, these Champions League vibes, and put them into our defending champions.
And tell McCall to remind them that they're fucking winners, too.
Exactly.
There so there you go. Let's move on now to Ask 6PW, brought to you by our friends here at London Bridge Pub, which I'm sure was soaked with beer after that Liverpool victory today.
I'm surprised it doesn't still smell like beer.
Ah,
I'm
seriously.
Genuinely surprised.
I'm surprised Mike is standing up.
He was in a stool.
He's high on life right now, so yes. It's pretty cool.
Yes, indeed. So our first Ask 6PW question comes from Jeff on Twitter saying, which are you more? One, upset about McCall not getting McCalled up? Or two, glad we still have her around here being the leader of the squad?
I'm upset about McCall not getting called up. Because
McCall her up.
Yeah, sorry, McCalled up. Because as much as I love having her here and leading our midfield, she deserved that moment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She fought hard and worked hard, and no one was more, I don't know how to say it, like fighting more harder to get back in time than her, especially after that horrible injury.
Yeah.
She was very driven.
A nasty injury, too. I mean, if you saw any of her posts on Instagram, you know, where she talked about how she had no flexibility in that arm whatsoever and was able to come back and get it in good enough shape to be able to play 90 minutes now.
Well, when we did the Golden Bro Awards here, and she was just, and her speech to us was just inspiring, and she was like, this was the first time today that I've been able to touch my thumb to my nose and bend my elbow. And I'm like, that's
crazy
inspiration.
That's very
inspiring. You had a horrible injury, and the fact that you've come here, accepted this award, given us your speech, and shown us that you can rise above it all to get back to the game you love, that was her moment. Mm-hmm. And they took that from her.
Yeah.
And I'm more upset about that than her being here. I'd rather her not be here.
I am too. I was prepared for McCall not to be here. Right. I was prepared for her to be an option in France when we needed to gum up the midfield.
Yes.
I mean, to have Mewis and Zerboni, our anchors in midfield, leading the national team when called upon. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that would not be as often as we expected because Jill loves Julie Ertz, and why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Jill loves Lindsay Horan, and why wouldn't you?
Right.
But to have that option there, and especially knowing how many people believe Sam should be playing more, and how many people believed that McCall deserved a spot on this squad. What is Morgan Brian going to bring to the squad that McCall doesn't?
The same bench spot.
Veteran experience.
What veteran?
Big air quotes. I don't know.
Like, was she there in 2015? Yes.
Yeah. I believe she was.
Right. But how much did she play?
I don't recall her playing a great deal.
Not... 90 minutes total over the tournament, maybe. But what veteran experience do you have from someone that's literally been injured every year?
Especially when you're trying to bring new blood into this midfield. You left Andy Sullivan at home. I mean, Sullivan, I can see to some extent, you know, over... I can't see her over Zerboni. She's very good, and she will be in that national team... Soon. Probably in 2023, probably sooner.
Probably Olympics.
Probably the Olympics, yeah. True. She'll probably be in the Olympics in 2020.
Because you won't. I was just talking to someone about this today. Does Lloyd retire if we win the World Cup? No. She wants
the Olympics.
She wants the Olympics.
Especially after what happened to the to them in the Olympics in 2016.
Right. Yes. That was my argument, too. And I was like, but does she play? You take that veteran as an alternate. Or you take Lloyd, you throw Sullivan in there with her as an alternate, and then you throw McCall in there, and you put someone else as an alternate, like, or you throw McCall in there as an alternate, and Yeah, sit Ali Long down. Like, I don't understand some of these rosters, these roster decisions.
Yeah. The thing that worries
me, they're setting her up for failure.
The thing that worries me the most about Jill Ellis's roster is if this team does not do well in the World Cup, she's going to get replaced.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to get replaced quickly. Guess who one of the top candidates is to replace her?
I wonder who.
I mean,
I'm not saying that Paul Riley is the only option, of course,
no.
Because they are going to take a long, hard look at Laura Harvey, especially if Utah comes away, you know, with an incredibly successful season. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Paul Riley has been the most successful coach in the NWSL for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And it'd be hard to not take a long, hard look at him, too.
Especially knowing that his players will run through brick walls for him.
Yes.
You want someone like that running your national team squad.
Especially if we're, like you said, trying to bring in some new blood. Imagine Paul Riley with not only our girls, but also new blood in the national team. Just, oh, man.
We'll run through
multiple walls.
With playing an NWSL all-star team, essentially.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, because I'll be the first one to tell you, just send the Courage to the World Cup.
Bet.
You know, replace Abby Ersig with Becky Sauerbrunn. Replace Megan Rapinoe with
Dabinia.
Cross country.
Who do you replace?
Rapinoe, you can't take Dabinia to the World Cup for US.
Yeah.
Right. So you replace Dabinia with Rapinoe.
Right.
And replace O'Sullivan with Ertz.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Done.
Done. There's your World Cup roster.
There's your World Cup roster right there. Done.
Would if we could do
Dave,
that.
Dave, do you want the... I know there's a positioning opening up soon.
I mean, if we sent that many Courage players, would you be willing to take an L for one season?
Yes.
To see another star?
Yes.
I mean, I would.
Absolutely.
To see another star
especially
over the USA crest? Yes.
Especially if it was this season. It's like, okay, we just won the triple, almost invincible, and we won another star this summer. Hell yeah, I'll take it. I'll take one L.
That was a question, too, but we'll get to that
that in a minute. Let's get next to Jonathan on Twitter asking us, you get an all-expenses-paid weekend trip to an NCFC or Courage away game. Where do you go?
Portland.
See, that is my knee-jerk, but I've been to Portland, so my second would be Utah.
I've been to Seattle. That's why I said Portland. But Utah.
It's something different. It's a part of the continental U.S., at least, that I'm like... That's where I've been the least in the continental U.S., so that's a good spot for me. I love the Pacific Northwest.
Only because
I love the Pacific Northwest. I went to Seattle, of course, last year and then drove down to Portland for the final. Mm-hmm. And
Seattle's beautiful. And
it's a beautiful, beautiful city.
God.
As I was there, half the time I was thinking to myself, my God, this is amazing. When can I come back?
Right,
you know, that's how much I enjoyed my trip to Seattle. Mm-hmm. But I will say this: I have not been to Chicago in a hot minute.
But that's an easy trip,
right?
That's a fun trip. But all expenses paid.
Yes,
I'm traveling across the country.
Right.
I'm eating some damn good food. Mm-hmm. I'm watching a good game, and then living it up for like another day and coming back.
I am tasting that Dungeness crab right now.
Ooh.
Oh my
now,
God!
We all mentioned. I know they said NCFC or Courage, but I would say since we all mentioned Courage, what would be your NCFC destination?
Oh, if we have to play an East Coast, if we have to play like,
yeah,
if it was like our dream, we could play like cross conferences.
I'd say whatever. Anyone in the USL we could play.
I think we should stick with the East here.
Stick with the East?
Since we only play in the Eastern Conference, there's no real cross conference play. So unless till we get to the final.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I say let's stick with Eastern Conference destinations.
I just want to go to Kansas because I hear it's really cool. So I had a place. No, Kansas is not Eastern.
No, Swope Park.
Swope Park is Eastern.
Is it? They switch conferences like they change underwear, so I don't know.
They do move back and forth. St. Louis moves back and forth.
St. Louis is Eastern this year.
If it was Kansas for a sport in Kansas, sure, but I don't know about Swope Park.
I don't really care about the game. I just want.
Yeah, it's all about where you want to go.
Yeah.
As someone who has traveled through the Midwest several times, I can tell you it's not as exciting as it sounds. No offense.
I've been to St. Louis once. I didn't get to see too much of the city. I mostly just went to see A Tribe Called Quest playing at Washington University. But St. Louis would be a fun trip. But I tell you, it would not be the top of my list.
Memphis or Nashville.
I tell you what, I know it would be incredibly hard unless we all suddenly come into a big chunk of money.
Yeah.
But an OCS invasion of Memphis would be so awesome.
I would love
amazing.
It.
Amazing. Would we make it to the game?
No.
We'd still be partying on Beale Street.
We're going to be on Beale Street. We're going to be covered in their barbecue sauce, basically.
I mean, you say that like it's a bad thing.
No, I didn't say it was a bad thing.
Don't tip me with a good time, sir.
You know what? I almost said Nashville, but you're right. I haven't been to Memphis in maybe
I've never been to Memphis. Nashville's always fun, though.
Nashville's always fun. But that's why I would say Memphis, again, it's a haven't been there in a while kind of thing, and it's, oh, man. And
with me, the river. In Memphis, it's like, where haven't I been in Memphis yet?
Right.
So
we're just going to...
Let's just do Memphis.
Let's just all go to Memphis. We got to do an OCS invasion of Memphis. Ryan, raise us some money.
Yes, let's make this happen.
Fearless leader.
All right.
I mean, I'm down with Memphis.
I'm down.
All right. Let's move on. Scott on Twitter has a couple of questions for us. The first one is, you can only have one this year. Which would you rather walk away with? A U.S. World Cup, a Courage ICC trophy, or an NWSL shield?
World Cup.
Easily. Give me that 4-star, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say World Cup as well. NWSL shield's probably third on my list. As long as we finished,
As long as we get to the playoffs, then.
Because obviously we can win road games in the playoffs.
Do you mean shield or do you mean like championship? Either way, my answer is still World Cup. But if that NWSL shield said NWSL championship,
I would put the championship.
I would still go World Cup, but it'd go World Cup championship ICC trophy.
World Cup, give me 4 stars.
But for now, with the word shield in there, it's World Cup ICC shield.
In that order.
Yeah, I would love to. We all agree on that. I think having ICC a second is good because it's a test of one of the best U.S. women's teams against other best women's teams from around the world. Like that's big clout. It's like, hey, we whooped that ass.
Yeah.
That international ass.
As we did last year.
Let's do it again.
Defending
champs.
Yes. All right. Second question from Scott is, FC Cincinnati fans are starting to actively lament being in MLS compared to USL for a variety of reasons. They echo my thoughts about NCFC. Where do you guys fall?
So the FCC fans are quite hilarious to me because...
Just wait till Nashville goes to MLS, though.
Oh,
boy.
I can't wait. The roadies are already hated in USL by their own fans. Right. And it's just going to be hilarious to watch. But FC Cincinnati. So they're funny because
for a year...
We had to listen to them go, this league means nothing. Oh, wait till we get MLS. We're going to run the league, blah, blah, blah. As they get dropped in the first round of the playoffs. And you're just like,
all right, Tampa Bay Lightning.
Like, take it easy. Oh, damn. Bringing in the hockey references.
The hockey burn right there.
Hey, man, I'll take the hot takes wherever I can.
A hot take of ice and fire.
But... And now that they have come into this league, into MLS, and they've seen that, oh, maybe it's not as easy as you thought as an expansion league, as an expansion team, when you only got a month to make your jerseys and they all look like t-shirts. And
although, to be fair, nothing is worse than the white DC United one. They could have had the
cherry blossoms. I'm still mad at you for that.
Instead, they took a Hanes beefy tee. threw a little bit of gray and a badge on it, and boom, done.
Better than the FC Cincinnati, honestly.
Yeah, true.
But ultimately, I think the question here is, would we rather be in USL, or do we really want to be in MLS?
I want to be in the league that's going to offer us the most competition.
Ding.
Whether that's USL
or MLS.
Because we don't know. We don't know what the league is going to look like in 3 to 5 years.
It's growing, and the USL pyramid is growing, and it's exciting.
I just want to watch good competitive soccer for NCFC in downtown Raleigh for NCFC.
Whether that is
USL, MLS. Well, only two options are USL and MLS. So we're not dropping down.
No. I would like to kind of take I would love to have MLS for, if anything else, just for the attention from the more common fans, like kind of like we talked about in the bonus episode about
St. Louis
stuff. You know what,
there are people who just don't care
they don't
about
care because
this
it's not
club
ma-
because
major
it's,
league.
It's not major league. But it's not the top flight.
But as a fan myself, what I want, like you said, I want the competition. I would honestly, I want to be in downtown Raleigh or close to downtown Raleigh. And I want great competition, and I'd rather honestly stick in the USL and go full like Louisville and just kind of beef it up. Be like, we're going to be the best USL team. We don't, like, MLS be damned. We're just going to stay in this competitive league and be
kind of go
at
like a Detroit City there, yeah, in PSL to the day they
to
die.
To the death. Yeah.
And they don't want anything else, no matter how
and their
much
fans
MLS tries to push
absolutely
it.
Love them the way they are. And right. I think moving to Raleigh would be both good for both teams, honestly. And then I don't really know about MLS anymore. I'm just kind of like, I want the downtown stadium and let's go from there.
Well, the thing, MLS is not going anywhere.
No.
I mean, not unless Soccer United Marketing goes bankrupt. And I'm pretty sure ESPN and Fox aren't going to allow that to happen.
No.
So ultimately, I think being in the top flight would actually be better for this club, simply because it would get more attention as a top flight club.
Mm-hmm.
It would get more exposure. It would get better competition.
Get more money.
Players. Better players coming through for us, and you know, better players from other teams.
But look at where these teams are loaning people. Look at where Celtic is loaning their players. They're loaning them to USL teams.
To Matthews and
us, and they try to loan them to USL Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
But they're getting. They're loaning these players out to these MLS teams, and they're not seeing the field. And then these MLS teams loan them down to us, and they're developing. Manny Perez has started, what, 3 games in a row now?
Yes.
Matthews, Hartford, and
Indy.
And probably he's going to start in Ottawa.
Also, would MLS have any effect on our youth-to-pro system? I've wondered about that, because we have such a – now that we're building one of the – biggest and best in the country, it's like, how would that change if all of a sudden your primary, because the Courage are primary too, but one of your primary teams becomes a top flight? Like, how does that affect that whole process? Because I like the fact that we have a whole system going from a young age up to pro.
Well, there are homegrown players in MLS too, right?
Yeah,
but
their homegrown can sit like, see,
Some have academies.
Yeah, some do. Like, I can only go off of what my team does, and I'm a Sounders fan. But our U17 Academy just won, like, the Adidas Generation.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat, who they beat? Barca, I believe?
I think it was Barca.
Yeah. But also, we do have homegrown players. The Roldans are homegrown players. They left California, came up here, and played in our system since the beginning. Morris was an academy player, came up through Sounders 2 and almost went to Europe and then stayed and was a homegrown player. Like, they do have homegrown players, but it feels different because you don't have that connection to those homegrowns.
Right.
I've watched Manny Perez play a lot of games. And this is not for just NCFC or Railhawks.
This
is NC State.
Yeah, I think I've seen him in red and white more than I have
the orange
blue,
and white.
Blue and gold and yeah. Orange and white
or green
or green. Well, yeah. We haven't seen him in green yet.
No, but our games are so accessible for people overseas to watch mm-hmm. now because of ESPN Plus.
There are a lot of Celtic player fans who are watching.
Yeah, there are Celtic people watching NCFC games because they're like, this kid is really developing while he plays for you guys. Remember at the end of last season, there was that whole, not last season, like a couple seasons ago, there was that, we didn't know whether we were going to stay in NASL, and mm-hmm. there was the USL looming, and then Malik killed NASL, and all that.
Allegedly.
Kind of, allegedly.
Oh, sorry, allegedly. Sorry. My bad. Sorry, Steve. My bad. We did the club over league, TIFO.
Yes.
I'm still 100% club over league.
Club over league, for sure.
As long as my club is getting positive publicity and mm-hmm. they're playing in competitive matches every week, I don't care what league we're in. Do I think MLS will hurt our connection with some of these players? Maybe.
Maybe.
But the true ones will always have that connection.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll always be able to.
Well, let's just say MLS wouldn't hurt. It certainly would help in a lot of ways. But
it would help as far as attendance, if nothing else.
Yeah, attendance, front office stuff, yeah. But me personally, I fall in club over league with Ebony. You know, I like the USL. It's very competitive. And my biggest thing is I just want us to be in Raleigh. That's all I care about at this moment.
I'm pretty much the same way, club over league. I like USL.
Yeah.
I think it's a good league. It's a competitive league. I mean, you look at the standings right now. I mean, it's still
so tight.
It's still really, really tight. I mean, it's similar to the English Football League Championship mm-hmm. and how tight it is at the top.
Yeah. Oh, man. So Saturday could be a huge day.
Because only two have clinched, correct?
Yes.
So
there's still play. There's still playoffs.
Chelsea
coming.
Gets Tottenham's guaranteed top four.
Oh, we're talking about the Premier League. My
bad.
He's talking about championship. Yeah, no. Two have clinched, and it's the last game of the playoffs for championship this weekend as well.
Yes.
That's crazy. But yeah, again, and even Premier League. I mean, the Premier League is tight. I mean, Arsenal's basically out of top four, but it could still happen, who knows? But it's really up to, like, Tottenham, United, and Chelsea. Who wants fourth place?
So, Arsenal needs a win.
And a lot of goals.
And 8 goals, and Tottenham to lose by at least 1.
Not happening. Let's just win the Europa League. I you know what? I'll take fifth place if it means we win a piece of European trophy and get into the Europa League. And I know there's this whole, like, weird math thing that we win the Europa League, but if certain teams around us win or lose a certain position, that someone who's in the top four might lose out on Champions League. Like, there's so much weird right now, but I like that. You know what?
If Liverpool wins Champions League, then obviously they couldn't take a Champions League spot from Premier League because they'd automatically qualify. So then it would go to
5 teams in the Champions League this year. Woo!
That would be pretty crazy.
I'm into it. Not really.
I mean, we could. You could always lose, and we could jump you, and then we'd get the Champions League.
I need that money. I need that money so they can actually
you just lost
put
Ramsey,
out.
Right?
Don't remind me.
Speaking of the championship, the semifinals there on Saturday, a Midlands derby for the first semifinal. Aston Villa versus West Brom.
Ooh,
that's gonna be electric. And then Leeds
is
gonna be clawing.
Leeds is playing Derby County on Saturday as well. So. The sheep shaggers are back.
Everybody pray for Mike Cooper, who's a Leeds fan. He's
isn't Johnny and Slack a Leeds?
Yeah,
fan?
Johnny too. Pray for Johnny.
Yeah,
they need
there's a lot of there's a lot
there
of
is a,
happening right
I'm,
now.
I'm no Leeds supporter, but somehow I ended up on the Leeds channel.
Yeah,
because I like keeping a pulse on teams in the championship, and I'm just like, I'm praying for you guys.
Speaking of teams that could make the championship next year. League One semifinal on Saturday, Sunderland versus Portsmouth.
Portsmouth.
Let's go.
Let's go, Portsmouth.
Let's go.
They've been climbing and climbing, and I'm so excited.
But also, fuck Sunderland.
Also, fuck Sunderland.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great
documentary. All the Netflix specials in the world aren't going to help
you here. It didn't change my mind. Oops.
Right. Well, I think that's about all we've got here.
Oh, congrats to the Canes, by the way.
Oh, yes.
For the sweep.
Carolina Hurricanes.
How you feeling over there, KP?
You know what? Now that Columbus is out, it interesting because, yes, Boston is a great team, but they're old. I asked my coworker who's like born and bred everything Beantown. I was like, so do you guys have any like youth in your team or whatever? He's like, our collective age is past death. So he's more worried than I am, and that's a sign. I think as long as we keep the underdog mentality and don't pretend like fuck the stats. Yes, Money Puck still has the highest percentage of us winning the whole thing, which would be great. Let's just say fuck everyone and keep fighting, and we'll see what happens.
I mean, my boss is a Boston fan, and he was like, oh, are you going to go to a game? I was like, not this round. He goes, oh, tickets too expensive. I was like, no, it's not that. It's I don't want to get in a fight with the Bruins fans because you're all degenerate.
Yeah, that's how I felt with Caps, but you know what? We destroyed them, so that's all that matters. But yeah, I'm feeling good. All three of my local teams are playing at the same time. What is going on? It's almost summer.
What do you mean? There's a game Friday. There's a game Saturday. There's a game Sunday. If that's not the biggest Oak City weekend.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what it is.
Especially it's a great weekend for Raleigh sports, everyone. Yeah.
Yep.
Great weekend for Raleigh sports. Ebony, yo. Who brought us here today?
We're brought to you by a Tasty Beverage Company right here in downtown Raleigh. That's tastybeverageco.com and the Beautiful Game Network. We're still friends at a pod on Soccer and Sweet Tea.
Insert clip of Jonathan saying hashtag SNST fam here.
And thanks to our sponsor, Golden Gold Press, the best choice for you to get custom hats, shirts, mugs, and other items for just yourself or organization. Check out their amazing products at a fraction of the price and other places at goldengoldpress.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Six Point Weekend. Do not write me on Instagram. I will not.
Ebony will not reply to you.
I will not answer your direct messages.
She will not answer your DMs on Instagram. No, deal with it.
Don't do it. Don't go down to the DMs, guys. It does not work for you.
Do not slide into those DMs.
It does not go down.
It does not work.
It doesn't. Please leave us a review on iTunes. Subscribe to us wherever you would like. 5 stars if you may. I'm vain. I need the validation.
Big clout.
Yeah.
Big clout. Big clout. And that will just about do it for us this week. Yeah. So for Ebony.
Yep.
And for KP.
Yo.
I am Dave. And enjoy the games this weekend, everybody. And we will see you next week on 6 Point Weekend.
Peace.
Later on.
Peace.